Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Yassas, this is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to the Voice of Olympus e-radio show on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Tonight, we're going to be meeting with some of my favorite people again, the Unirius Academy of Sciences in California, and we are going to be exploring the Atlantis revelations a bit further in depth. Unirius, as I said, in my 50-plus year spiritual journey, has been a sanctuary and a haven to me, and has opened my mind in many ways. And they have a very rich Atlantean tradition that was channeled through various people, and it is a very coherent and expansive history that we're going to continue exploring tonight. Unirius literature is given out as part of our Olympian embassy, which travels from place to place and gives workshops, activities, and events in Star Center Atlantis. And we also have a Unirius bridge site. So there's plenty to explore with Unirius through our site and, of course, through the Unirius site itself. We have waiting here with us Celeste Appel. So until the other Unirius folk drop by, we will begin conversing with Celeste. Greetings, Celeste.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm glad to be with you again this evening, and looking forward to the interview and what you and Athena and Guillermo have to say as well.
Guillermo's a little bit under the weather, I've been hearing. Hopefully he'll be able to join us later tonight.
Oh, I hope so.
Now, this is part two of a three-parter called Atlantis, the Unirian Revelations. And last time we covered a lot of ground, actually. We started at the very beginnings of Atlantis, and we explored some of the many incarnations that Uriel had on Atlantis, and also the moderator. And we covered so much ground that I think we need to backtrack a little. Now, Celeste Ali, I believe it was you that mentioned that there were mutants on Atlantis as well. Can we start there?
Yes, I can. That actually is a continuity from the Lemurian civilization. And I talked about that. Lemuria started about 165,000 years ago, and same as Atlantis, was helped to get started by advanced spiritual beings that so-called crash landed there, but it wasn't really an accident. And their higher self, they planned this, and they brought the higher teachings to these primitive people and began teaching them, and the civilization evolved, and So as they got technology, they had a spiritual understanding and they used it wisely, and the civilization reached all-time high. And then, of course, the teachers started backing off, because the whole point is that we have to learn on our own once we have the tools, so to speak. And those who are in power reverted back to their old ways. They were really incarnated from the Orion civilization that was off this planet and existed 800,000 years ago. And eventually Lemuria became such a negatively biased planet that there was what would be equivalent of a nuclear explosion, and the whole continent in the Pacific Ocean sank. And there were satellite civilizations, so to speak, in South America and over in what is now Atlantis, which was a continent in the Atlantic Ocean. And the peoples reverted back to being more primitive. So to help jumpstart their evolution and move forward, the plan was set up for an individual that was overshadowed by Archangel Uriel to incarnate at a time when they were struggling with the so-called mutants. And the mutants were really individuals that had managed to survive but were affected by the radiation. So not only were they, you know, physically misformed, but mentally, that was the most important thing. Mentally, they were deranged and savages and, you know, had no rhyme or reason about their humanity to another human. And so Poseidon was able, with his space brother friends and their technology, to actually reverse the negative effects with the mutants. So they were healed in a physical and a mental state.
Now, in Greek mythology, there's a story of Hercules going to the Red Island, which was in the Atlantic. And on the Red Island, there were people with multiple heads and limbs, and there were animals with multiple heads. And that always seemed to me to be a remembrance in the Greek culture of those radioactive islands and the fallout from the Lemurian period.
Well, that's news to me, but that makes sense, doesn't it?
I believe so. And I think Tracy just joined us. Let me welcome her in.
Okay.
Greetings, Tracy. Is that you?
Yes, it is. Hi, Hercules. How are you?
Hi, welcome. Great.
Hi.
I heard Kevin is doing a television show tonight.
He is. He's in L.A., and it's being recorded and will be live or be streamed later. But, yes, he's very excited.
That's awesome. We're excited for him, and congratulations.
Thank you. I'll let him know.
We were talking about mutants on Atlantis, and Celeste was kind enough to recount a lot of background information from the Lemurian era, and then I threw in a little piece of information about the Red Island in Greek mythology, where there was a human that had multiple limbs and multiple torsos and a dog that had a couple of heads, and the island was very red. So that always struck me as a remembrance of a radioactive time back in antiquity, really, really far antiquity. So that's where we were when you came in. So welcome.
Thanks. And I heard that tail end of what you were just talking about, and I have to say I think that's probably more than likely a remembrance, but just like you said, of the mutants.
The more I study Unarius, the more interesting things I find that you really need to have some background to get them. Like there was something, Herodotus is one of the spirit guides that brought the Atlantean information. And when I was reading the Atlantis books, The Return to Atlantis, there was a statement in there where he said about the temple of Amon-Ra, that nobody knew who the temple was dedicated to. He made a comment like that. And I've read Herodotus' histories, and I knew that that wasn't true. He tells you in the histories who the temple was dedicated to, and there's a Hercules story tied to that. And this gave me a piece of spiritual insight, you know, this contradiction that wasn't really a contradiction, that clarified a lot of information for me, because in that story, in Greek mythology that Herodotus preserves, Hercules is looking to contact Zeus and doesn't know how. So he goes to the temple of Amon in Egypt, and Amon is, of course, Ra, and he asks, and he's given an oracle, and he's sent on a quest, and he doesn't realize that he was talking to Zeus. And Herodotus tells us that to the Egyptians, Zeus was known as Amon or Ra. So this gave me the insight that I'm already connect. I need to not look as much anymore, that pretty much the connections I've made have all the information I need, and there's no more need to go questing, although I do enjoy questing. So there's a lot of information like that squirreled away in the Unarius text, and it's like having Easter eggs in a video game or in a television show, where it's like little goodies for somebody who knows a little bit of something of the background. So
that's great that you're – I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that's great that you're seeing those connections from all the research that you've done over the years. And it's just wonderful. And I think the most important thing is you're being guided by your higher self to get these answers, the things that you've been questing for this entire lifetime and many more, no doubt.
I was going to say that too, Hercules, that no doubt you're being guided when your quest, that information appears. And I know when you were asking me some questions in the summer when you're putting together your website, I'd forgotten some information, and then I'd wake up, you know, in the morning and I'd have, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell him, or even, you know, 2 or 3 days later. So that's how it works. Isn't that fantastic?
It's fantastic, and I appreciated it greatly. I think, in fact, I thanked you on the first page of the website for all your insights and help. Now, one of the things I was telling Celeste Tracy before the show that we're having two spin-off e-radio shows, one of them called The Pride of Olympus. And The Pride of Olympus is going to deal with the ascension or the apotheosis or the spiritual development process. And I'd love to have you guys back on to speak about the Unarian Brotherhood and a lot of the other topics that the Unarius literature deals with. And the other show is going to deal with Tesla and spiritual science. So I want you guys on that too, because Unarius has a lot to say about those things.
Oh, that'd be great. I think David Reynolds and Kevin and or Jack would be great to invite them as guests for the anything related to Tesla. They love to share information about that.
Yeah, Guillermo's very much into Tesla as well. And it seems that most of our friends who are spiritually inclined, Tesla is an avatar. And I know he's one of the Unarian brothers that has spoken to the Unarius Academy of Science as well.
Well, actually, yeah. when you say Amun-Ra, Amun-Ra was overshadowed by Archangel Michael, who overshadowed Tesla. So there's the connection there.
There you go. That's awesome. Now, there were a lot of ETs involved in Atlantis, a lot of extraterrestrial intelligences. And I know you mentioned several last time we were on, like from Orion, from the Pleiades, the Mitons, who later on became the Muons, and so forth. Can you give us a little bit of insight into that aspect of the Atlantean experience?
Well, I would say, first of all, that we've never been alone. We've always been helped by the spiritual guides on the inner planes, but then they've incarnated and overshadowed physical bodies to help us. And then there's other beings, people that are more involved than us, but they live in physical bodies and live on adjoining planets. And there have been times, which now there's people other than us that certainly believe this. Ancient Aliens is one show that's trying to show the influence over centuries and in our prehistory of visitors from outer space. So it's very much a part of our past history that individuals have come from other civilizations, and mainly for positive purposes to help us. Now, the muons from Planet Mytok did initially come not for such positive purposes, and they were here to get our resources that they wanted, and they actually, I believe, if this is correct, right, Tracy, that they actually caused some of the desert areas on this planet by what they were doing. And so part of their evolution is to turn that around and to help us in a positive way when we're ready to come back and to bring technology and help us to progress forward.
Yeah, and you're right, Celeste, and I think what they were taking was some type of minerals that they were using for that they needed on their planet and were taking it not necessarily with our permission, and that was, you know, again, how they incurred karma because it wasn't a two-way exchange as it should be in any type of interaction. And there were interstellar travel between planets was very common in Atlantis. It was, they had that technology. They understood how spaceships, starships functioned. They understood those interdimensional principles, and it was very, very common. So we did have, you know, we traveled back and forth as well as a lot of the planets on the Interplanetary Confederation. We had communication with them at this time.
And we still do. In fact, in the last conclave that you had, you got some really empowering and insightful messages that were disseminated from various of the Brotherhood that are still watching over us and guiding us and advising us.
Absolutely. Well, it happens every year at our conclave, but it happens all the time if we're open to it. They're constantly sending messages to us, but in particular during that annual Conclave of Light celebration, they are projecting so much love and consciousness to us, and it culminates in that transmission at the end of our event where they send us a direct message that the transceivers sit down and receive the information. And it's always a message of love and encouragement, and in particular they'll share about the problems that they had on their planet, and always the message is, if we could do it and look at what's mm-hmm. happened to us and how wonderful our life is now that we're living with this joining of science and spirit, you can do it too. So it's a wonderful message for us.
One of the things that I admire most about Unarius is that Unarius, although spiritual, isn't a religion. And it also says that we're totally responsible for our world, and that our world as we experience it is our responsibility. And in this age of victimhood, that's a very empowering message, although a difficult one to hear. So that's something I truly admire.
Well, you know, there's a lot of misconception that if we're a spiritual school organization, which we are, that we're religious. And Unarius is not a religion because Unarius is based on the understanding of scientific principles. They just happen to be third dimensional physics carried to a higher level and understanding that it's really interdimensional physics and then brought down to a personal level. How do I apply this to myself? How do I make the science real? How can I use it in my everyday life once I have taken responsibility to make wonderful positive changes in my life and to have a more positive consciousness? And that is what's really going to change our world, is one person at a time with that alignment with their own spiritual consciousness and taking responsibility for their own lives.
How do you feel now that science is catching up with some of the Unarian revelations? I remember it wasn't too long ago that most of those who followed the scientific way of looking at our universe felt that we were alone in a mostly lifeless and empty universe.
Yeah.
And now they're finding that there's a lot of water, there's planets all over the place, and the possibility of life on those planets. How does it feel?
It feels exciting, and it feels it's validating what we've known from studying Unarius and making it our own on a personal level that this is true. And I don't need that outside validation from a personal perspective because I know that it's true within my higher self. But I love seeing it happen because it's waking everybody up. And it's like, yes, this is true. We're seeing, you know, we're up to what now, 2,000 planets that they discovered that they think has life on it. They just discovered 1,000 last week, or, you know, it was published. And it's just it's so exciting.
12,000 planets, Tracy. And out of that, there were, what, almost 1,000 that were in the Goldilocks zone. So really exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I find too. I find too when they talk about outer space and they were talking about space being very empty, it's pretty much what they said about DNA when they said a lot of stuff of DNA is just kind of junk DNA and you don't have to worry about what's in it. And now they're finding all that junk is really, really important. And it's really good.
Yeah.
You can't gloss over it no more than you could gloss on all the different rays and things that are out in outer space too, because there's all sorts of fields, magnetic fields, rays, stuff you might not be able to perceive through certain spectrums, but now they're starting to pick up more and more of it. Like there's corridors of energy going from the sun right towards us too.
Yeah,
well, absolutely. We were just at a New Living Expo in San Mateo a couple of weeks ago and listened to a panel on trying to get together the new energy, and there were physicists there, and they know that there's no vacuum anymore, that there are waveforms, I forget what the term is, flux, there's a certain term, fluctuations, and so they were saying that the science is just jumping leaps ahead in the sense that the students aren't really learning the latest of what science knows. You know, the institutions take a while to catch on. They were also talking in another panel about how they know the brain is not the seat of consciousness and that there's this electromagnetic field outside the brain where consciousness exists, which is obviously proof that life is continuous and we're not just the physical body, to have this electronic nature of consciousness. So that, to me, was very, very exciting.
It is very exciting. And, too, that was described years ago by the moderator.
Yeah, so like Tracy said, it's fantastic validation of the truth of these principles. And any of us who've studied have begun this, as she said, too, this personal validation of it. But it's exciting to see so many other people begin to see that there's more beyond than what meets the eye through just the physical senses.
So as our eyes open more to the mysteries of the universe, and things are happening so quickly, it's hard to even keep track of all the wonderful revelations that are coming to us from all over the place. How do you see our world changing in the next decade or so?
I see it on a grassroots level, that it's just one by one people waking up and changing themselves. And then just think of what happened with Facebook. And that's a fairly new phenomenon. How long has it been around? 10 years? And it's connected so many people in so many ways quickly. When something happens, everybody knows about it now. And I just think it's going to be speeded up, that there's going to be a more and more greater awareness and opening of people's consciousness to the reality of all these things that Unarius has been talking about, that other people in spiritual circles around the world have been talking about, that there's a lot more to life than the physical body, and consciousness is everything.
I think another aspect of that is that there are souls that are incarnating on this planet that are further along in their progressive evolution, and they've set it up to come help bring about this new age and bring in the solutions that we need. And we're seeing that. I mean, you can see it out on the internet, individuals that are like teens and they've got these ideas and these ideas are being put into implementation. One of them don't remember the name, but some teen that had an idea of how to get rid of that vortex of fine plastic broken down particles out in the Pacific Ocean several years ago, and I think he's now 18 or 19, and they're actually going to put that into action. So that's
wow.
very encouraging, too, for people to realize that there's no limitations. Whatever problems that we've created, we can also uncreate them, recreate them to a positive a solution. And so that, I think, is going to also help people to realize and not doom and gloom for our future, but that there are things that we can do and take action, and it can happen, like Tracy said, more on an individual basis. We don't have to wait for the government to do it. It may not be some really expensive venture that's going to take billions of dollars and lots of research. You know, there may be ideas that we can implement much more easily than was initially thought of.
That's a very interesting observation and very, very true. I remember it was around a decade ago, I wrote an article called Infotech Musings, and it's on my Atlantis Project site now, where I was talking about how we've entered the realm of myth, and it's become commonplace. So we think nothing about, you know, flying around the planet and looking at pieces of glass and being able to look into the past, the present, the possible futures. And these are the things that were in the myths, the legends, the fairy tales, and in the fiction stories we grew up with. And here we are, they're real. We have the powers and abilities of the mythical gods, but we don't see it. It's become so commonplace that we don't appreciate it. So it's a very interesting phenomenon.
And, you know, Unarius' perspective on that is that this is really nothing that's new. A lot of these so-called myths and legends are psychic memories from individuals who lived in more advanced civilizations at the time of Lemurian Atlantis, when we had more advanced technology on other planets where they have or did have more advanced technology. And they're re-remembering this, and we see it outpictured in science fiction movies and books, et cetera. And now, you know, some of that's becoming reality, and you realize, again, that it's not really something new. It's devices and things we've had before. It may not be exactly the same. You know, there's infinite variety of how things can manifest. But, yeah, definitely. Like, I remember watching the Jetsons cartoons when I was young, and you know, there's a lot of things in that cartoon show that are coming into fruition now.
Yeah, very true. In Star Trek, a lot of the futuristic inventions on Star Trek inspired people to create them now in the in our world, and they're commonplace. We have the equivalents of replicators. We have communicators. We have tricorders in iPads and cell phones and things. So it's pretty amazing that, again, they're commonplace, and when they first appeared as fiction, they appeared so far off and improbable, and here we are, they're part of our reality already.
Yeah.
And we're going to see more and more of that.
And the key thing that people are thinking about that are scientists and philosophers and people that have a certain educators or researchers, they are thinking of the ethics of all of this, which is good. And I think a lot of them were involved in misusing perhaps this technology in the past. So they're prompted through, you know, their conscious, their higher self, their inner voice that, hey, we need to think about the bigger ramification of like robots and robotics and all of these devices and what it means for humanity in our future. And to me, that shows that there are lessons that have been learned and that these people are the spokespersons to help humanity to use these advancements in a positive way and not go down the negative path with them that we did in the past, and particularly in Atlantis, where we began misusing technology.
I like the way science fiction kind of did a lot of groundwork with studying the ethics of this artificial intelligence, the Cylons and Battlestar Galactica. the Terminator, all the little ramifications of what happens when your technology just gets out of your control. And they're also doing doing also with biology, we're talking about cloning. Well, Jurassic Park right there.
And it's, it's all psychic memories from where all these things did happen in some form or another, whether it was on our planet or in the Orion constellation. They're, all these things are, they're real. They happen.
And on that note, we're going to go to break for a few minutes. Athena, what's today's song?
Well, for our musical interlude, we present Darv the Bard, Land, Sea, and Sky.
We shall return.
When I feel The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
Come join us on International Pagan Radio. We air great artists such as Tuatha Dea, Dragon's Head.
Some of them come in the lonely, some of them stay for a spell, some of them stay for a message from the oracle in the well.
Green Fortune.
I remember when I first walked in this garden, I, against my will.
David Wood. Rising.
Lose yourself in rhythm, lose yourself in time, caught up in the spiral,
and many, many more.
Following the music, following the beat, dancing with.
Like our page and join our group on Facebook, internationalpaganradio.com, where it's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Yassas, we're back. I am Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And tonight, we're speaking with folks from the Unarius Academy of Sciences. We're honored to have Celeste Pell and Tracy Kennedy from the UAS. And we were joined during break by Guillermo Briceno, who is also a member of Unarius, and he has several interesting initiatives of his own that he started. So welcome back, everybody.
Hello. Thanks so much. Happy
Hello.
To be here.
Guillermo. You've been on the show a couple times now, and we'll just do a quick intro with all the things that you're involved in, and then we'll get into the conversation that we started during the break, because that was very exciting. I'm changing the format of the show a little bit, something I rarely do, because I'm a very structured person, but I think I'll have everybody talking for the next half hour or 20 minutes, and this way we could really get into that conversation we started. Now, Guillermo, you have a blog called 4D Perspectives. Tell us about that.
Well, right. So that first off, let me apologize for my voice. I don't sound as pretty as I did last time. I'm getting over the flu. But
you're
that's my blog. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I know. Thanks. My blog was a way for me to like showcase what I've been studying for the last couple of years through Unarius. Also to showcase my other interests in the realm of spiritual science. Trying to find those connections that I find particularly interesting within all paths of spirituality, all religions, all sciences, and not so much trying to compare why we are different, but trying to find out why we are all the same. And so in my own little way, I try to write short blog posts or short essays where I cite my sources from Unarius, from other liturgies, and I just try to figure out, you know, what is the best way to exchange this information that I'm gathering, and what is the best way for me to, like, you know, share this with people who could be potential students of Unarius, or just to answer any questions that they might have about Unarius from another, from a student, you know, from another, you know, someone else who's trying to figure out their own pathway in the universe.
Yes, we share that passion for Unarius, and we've had many a fine conversation on that topic alone, plus many others. You are one of the pillars of Star Center Atlantis, one of our founding members, and I really thank you and appreciate all your time, energy, and expertise that you've put into that. I'm really excited by the new blog that you're doing so we can start centralizing and getting that information out there on a more timely basis. So thank you.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure. You and Athena have been wonderful to me and very patient with me. For those of you who don't know, we meet up in Jersey every month or so. I don't drive. Being from New York City, I don't have a reason to drive. I take the bus or train everywhere I go. So Hercules and Athena tend to drive me everywhere I go. So thank you so much for your patience with me. I'm very great.
It's awesome.
Was it? Well, thank you.
We love having you and with us. You're awesome.
You made that important
thank you.
By not saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
And you've also been a very big part of Mythic Atlantis. At the first one, you were essentially with Nick Curto from the Urantia book in the New York Disclosure Project. You guys were the information table and were able to give out a lot of literature and answer a lot of questions. And we're having Mythic Atlantis 2. It's in the planning stages. It will be in mid-August on the same day as the Festival of Hercules Invictus in ancient Rome. So I'm pretty excited about that. And as I mentioned earlier, Guillermo is our voice of Hermes for our new e-radio show called The Order of Hermes. So he's going to be coordinating the efforts of a lot of creative individuals who have more scientific background than I have and who often speak in ways that I do not understand. But so far, I've understood everything Guillermo shared with me. So he got the position.
Well, thanks for the honor of doing that. I'm hoping to bring a lot of people forward who would normally not speak about these kinds of things because, as you may have experienced with, and I think all of us have experienced with this, when you start speaking on these terms of scientific spirituality, people look at you funny. They think, you know, what are you talking about? What are you doing? Is this the cult stuff? Is this black magic stuff? It's none of those things. And so I'm hoping to bring a lot of people who will, like, you know, shed some light on this very kind of niche portion of spirituality that's grounded in science but is open to the universe.
Awesome.
Well, that's exciting.
We're definitely on board with that. Now, I'll bring everybody into the conversation now. I will address Celeste and Tracy. You guys have been with Unarius for a big chunk of your lives, and you are now at the helm of the Unarius Academy of Sciences, and it's in very capable hands. How can we be of service here on the East? We're starting a little satellite here. What would you envision for us? What do you see inside your higher selves that you could share with us to guide us?
Well, I think the key is that if it's your inspiration, it's what you envision and how can we help support you.
Thank you.
I would concur. And the most important thing, and I think any student will acknowledge this and concur with me, is that as students that we keep studying. No matter what project, no matter what is going on, the most important thing that we can do every day is to sit down and open those Unarius texts to receive that healing energy that's being projected to us, that's regenerated in those printed words, which are much more than that. They're just symbols for the energy that the brothers brought to our planet and continue to project to us to help us in our evolution.
And it can be not just books. It can be also listening to something or watching something that carries those higher frequencies to really uplift you, to make that connection, to bring forth the inspirational ideas. And of course, Unarius has the tools if you've got a block and something isn't working out like you want. When we know there's a root cause from a past life, that you can discover what that is and work through it with the help of our spiritual teachers and overcome it and even have more clairvoyance and clarity and inspiration. And that's what's so exciting, I think, after being a student for so many years, is to have so many things open up in my life that I never dreamed that I would be involved in. And so a lot of this isn't pre-planned or pre-thought. It's trusting your own inner guidance and moving forward step by step. And it's not an individual path. There's many other people that coalesce, which I know you all are doing, to help to manifest whatever, because you can't be island unto yourself. So I think that's the other really exciting part, is contacting and meeting new people that have a piece to contribute of whatever, you know, your shared vision is.
And when something just came to mind real quick years ago, and a lot of the students that are at the center now have been students for a very long time, and when the mission was founded, Ernest and Ruth Norman were the directors, and as Ernest made his transition, then it was Uriel, and when Uriel made her transition, then it was Ann Terrace, who was the director, and all the students who were at the center and working with him, when Ann Terrace made his transition, we were all kind of, wow, what do we do now? And one of the messages that came from the brothers was, you continue to study, but you also learn how to work with your higher consciousness and serve as the arms and legs to carry out what the brothers are directing and guiding us. So it's the same thing for anyone who starts a study group or starts studying, is to recognize that we're just, hopefully, as we're open to our higher self, following through on what has already been set in motion by the Inarius brothers.
And one of my, submissions and all the things that I've been doing my entire life is bridging the information that was given out in antiquity with the information that we've been given now, and showing that this information is phenomenally consistent, and there's such a volume of it that human beings cannot possibly fake this. And since it came from many different channels over thousands of years, this is information that is coming from somewhere. And it is, again, there are some cultural variations, some variations through different time periods, but it is so remarkably consistent that you can't but be amazed if you make it your life study. So that's what I've been focusing on, showing how this was understood in antiquity and how it's still being given to this day. So we're being told the same thing over and over and over again, almost like a broken record, but this information is readily available.
Well, there's a reason we're being told over and over, right? We're not kidding.
Not again.
Yeah.
Or the vibrations are coming. You blame it on the vibrations.
So true. I mean, what I realized before I became a student and was searching is that all major philosophies, all religions seem to share some core basic beliefs and principles, and that there's got to be truth in that. And I think that's essentially what you were just saying, right?
Yes. And I think the... one of the things, again, that I admire about Unarius, and I admire many things about Unarius, is that Unarius has a reliable source, but they don't tell you that their way of looking at the universe is the only way you can look at the universe. And I believe that that's where other ways get into trouble. They demand an exclusivity, and they demand you to not open your mind through what you're learning, but to close your mind to any dissonant voice that contradicts or makes you question what you're reading.
Yeah, and Ernest Norman, the co-founder of Unarius, was the first to say he was a skeptic, and he always said, test the waters, and you have to validate it yourself. He was a scientist. That's what he did from when he was a young kid. He was constantly experimenting and just seeking out what everything was going on in the world around him and trying to understand it.
I think the thing, too, that I find really refreshing and exciting is, don't you think there's a lot of people now that feel really confused and afraid about what's going on in the world, and they're looking for someone outside themselves to be that leader? I mean, it's really being reflected right now in our whole politics with the presidential race. And
indeed,
really that one leader is not going to change America, is not going to change the world, as we talked about earlier. It's really going to come from all of us and at more grassroots level. So that's what I really appreciate about you, Narius, is that there's not one person that's directing you and telling you what to do. And sometimes we want that because it's kind of scary. You know, what should I do now? But that's how we learn, is to make our own decisions and then learn by them from experience. And Narius gives you knowledge and tools to make better decisions, understanding how we function as energy beings and how we can take more control of our life rather than, say, our emotions controlling us. Many of us deal with, you know, different emotional stuff that comes up all the time, and it clouds our judgment, our ability to really make good, clear choices in our lives. So that, to me, was one of the most exciting things when I discovered Narius compared to anything else that I'd heard about or found. And certainly, again, it gives you inner strength, knowing that everyone, including myself, has this higher part of myself that can provide answers. And yeah, I need help from those that are more advanced from myself as guides, but they're not ones that are going to tell me what to do. I need to learn on my own how to move forward in my life. And if I make poor decisions, well, then it's not a bad thing. I learn from it and I move on.
You learn from it. So they're more like cautious, going out there in the field and doing an athletic performance. So they're encouraging and pushing and sharing their wisdom and their insight, but it's still up to the athlete to perform. So it's more similar to that than somebody leading you by the hand and commanding you what to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great analogy, because that's really, you know, and it's not about winning or losing. It's what you learn from the experience.
One of the questions that anyone on the spiritual path confronts is, why are we given amnesia when we come here? In the ancient Greco-Egyptian writings, It was the river Lethe that in order to come to these dense vibrations, you drink the waters from the Lethe and you forget. And part of your challenge as a hero in reconnecting with the divine spark within, that which made you a child of the gods, was to resist the thirst. Because when you're very thirsty in the spiritual states, the waters that you're given make you forget. So you have to, like, fight the urge to drink those waters so that you can reconnect fully with who you are.
Sort of like a reincarnation, mm-hmm. Ruthie.
Kind of, yeah. So how does Narius explain that amnesia?
Is this for anybody?
That's a good question.
I can give it
a shot. I have something I can contribute, but I've talked so much, so let me have others talk.
Okay, but I would like to hear what you say before we close. Okay, Guillermo.
Sure, I got the floor then. All right, so with the preface of saying that I have not read every Narius book as of yet, I'm still working on that. It seems to me, according to what I've read so far, if we can consider coming into this life not as a blank slate, but rather as beings coming in with all the pieces to make a puzzle, those puzzle pieces are made up of the experiences from previous lifetimes. Now, if you were to come in with a full puzzle, it might overwhelm you. You know, there's no reason to give you all the answers all at once to how to live your life just yet, because you still have lessons to learn. You have to figure out how to put this puzzle together yourself. So if you came in with all this information from millions upon billions upon infinity of past lives, you would not know where to start. It would definitely weigh you down. So by coming in with this kind of amnesia, so coming in like as a so-called blank slate. It gives you the opportunity to discover how to put together this puzzle. Now, like, everyone has their own methodology with puzzle pieces. When I was younger, I would flip them onto their backside, so the cardboard gray part was faced upward. And then as they put the puzzle together, I would flip it back and finally see the full picture, say, oh, that's what I was trying to figure it out. So it's kind of like that. So if you can imagine, that's the reason why we're coming in like this. It's not that we are being punished with amnesia. It's not that we are, you know, doomed to wander in the mist or anything like that, but rather to learn the lesson properly of this lifetime, of the various millions of lessons we have to learn, we really have to learn for ourselves. We have all the pieces to this puzzle. We just have to put it together. At least that's my interpretation.
And well, I think that's a great, a great way to look at it. Also,
nailed
even
it.
Though we
I
can,
did it.
Yeah, we say we have amnesia. We really don't have amnesia because what our remembrance is, and it's stored in our energy body and our mental conscious, is all these past experiences. As we go through these experiences and they cause trauma or they cause great joy, or we have we discover that we have the ability to play music really well, that's uncovering our amnesia that's stored in our energy body. So if, you know, we get sick, that's uncovering the amnesia. So as Guillermo said, it's like a puzzle, but we really don't have amnesia. We just don't remember it in our conscious mind, but it is stored there. And that's, again, the self-discovery process or the experiences that we have that cause reactions and emotions. Those are the clues to uncover the amnesia that we supposedly have.
Awesome.
Well,
I would add
to that by saying that someone that is more developed does not have amnesia. And Ernest Norman was a fantastic example of that. He could remember lifetimes thousands of years ago because he had such a developed clairvoyant mind. But what he would say when Guillermo was talking about is, gosh, how could you function in the present if all of a sudden all these thousands of lifetimes that you live came flooding in at once? And in fact, people are defined as schizophrenic or psychotic when they have lifetimes come in from the past and they don't understand it and they think it's present reality. Mm-hmm. So what we understand very much in Unarius is that energy functions in cycles. And we call it getting in phase or in frequency with a particular cycle. And our outside environment stimulates that psychic memory through our subconscious and then the connection through the next level, our mental consciousness, where all the past experiences are stored. And if we are aware, then we can see that, hey, this is a repeat from something from the past, and that's what we're learning to do as students of Unarius. When these cycles come into play and we need to know that this particular energy is remanifesting from past life and it's affecting me maybe not in such a great way in the present, that I know that and I can then begin to objectify that this is not have to be my reality now, that I can change the bias of the energy to have a more positive effect in my present life.
Wow. Thank you, Celeste. And your words are an excellent way to close this show. Before we go, how can folks learn more about the Unarius Academy of Sciences?
Go to the website, Unarius, UNARIUS.org. We also have a website, past-lifetherapy.com. They can call the center, 1-800-475-7062. We stream our classes live on Sunday and Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Daylight Time. Check out the website.
It's actually Pacific Daylight Time right now.
That's what
okay.
I said.
It's standard. There's no standard in it right now. It's Pacific Daylight Time.
I still haven't caught up to the new way of saying it. And Guillermo, how can folks find out about 4D Perspectives and some of your other interesting projects?
Well, right now it's just 40perspective.blogspot.com. And in the future, you can look forward to seeing our Mythic Atlantis blogspot as well. And who knows what will come up in the future. So for now, there's 40perspective.blogspot.com. And within the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I hope to launch the Mythic Atlantis blog as well.
Thank you so very much, everybody.
Thank you for having us on.
No, it's a great time.
Thank you for being here, and I can't wait till the next time you're on.
Yeah, and thank you, Hercules, for your inspiration for setting this show up and all your many ideas for interviews, et cetera. You're just a fountain of creative ideas.
Thank you very much. Joyous journeys.
Same to you.
Good night.
Right back at
you.
Take care. Good night.
Bye. Athena, how can folks find out about us?
For more information on Hercules and Athena, visit our website at www.herculesinvictus.net. For contact and community, visit us on Facebook at Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, or The Voice of Olympus. Hercules and Athena are also available for Olympian workshops, mythic activities, as well as epic special events and appearances.
Awesome. And tonight, alas, there are no CERN updates for us to broadcast to you, but there's always something going on at CERN. So check in often. Our next show is going to be Hints of Atlantis in the Urantia book. This is Hercules Invictus
and Athena Victory,
wishing you all joyous journeys and good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.